A silent vigil I stepped out into the chill of dawn, my footsteps quiet on the ash-strewn cobblestones. The streets were still, the ashen roads held in a silent hush, as if even the wind itself was afraid to stir the dust. Watchful eyes watched from rooftops and alleys, their shadows cast long against the pale sky. I had no orders from the curators, only the weight of my own vigilance. The order's emblem on my chest felt like a cold reminder, a badge of restraint as much as duty. My fingers brushed absently, tracing the raised lines of the Nightforge emblem. I'd seen my share of battles, but in this era, even the most skilled hands wielded swords with caution. The price of bloodshed, the cost to ourselves and others, weighed heavily on our consciences. At my back, the Black Rose Tower loomed, its spires a jagged silhouette against the gray light. It was said that within its walls, secrets flowed like whispers in the dark, guiding the hands of those who served Melos Drawil. I'd never ventured inside, nor would I. My business lay on these streets. A hooded figure appeared beside me, our paths crossing without a word exchanged. We moved in tandem, the silent understanding that we were both here to keep the shadows still. I didn't know its name or its purpose, but like me, it walked the thin line of loyalty and restraint, ever vigilant for the balance. We crossed into an alley, the air thick with the scent of smoke and damp earth. My footsteps slowed as we approached a figure slumped against the wall. A woman, her eyes sunken, her skin grayish beneath the dust. A single candle flickered on the ground beside her, its flame barely high enough to illuminate the faces of the watchful eyes that ringed us. "I don't know what they want," she whispered when I crouched beside her, my hand reaching instinctively for the hilt of my sword. The message said it was urgent. Her eyes met mine, desperate and scared, and I understood the silent language we shared. Urgent messages weren't sent unless the balance had been disrupted, or someone had walked into our midst with intentions unspoken. I nodded, the weight of my oath heavy on me. There were those who believed in the beauty of justice, in the righteousness that came from standing for what's right. But I knew better. Balance was a whisper away from silence, and silence was the discipline we needed in these times. With a final look at the woman, I rose, the hooded figure beside me following suit. We stepped back into the shadows, the watchful eyes watching us with a collective breath, waiting for whatever would unfold. It did so on the edges of the city, far from the candle's light. In the darkness, a whispered word was given and received, its meaning lost to those who stood watch. The message, like a ghost, slipped into the shadows, its urgency only known to a few. And we waited, bound by our oaths, vigilant in a silent vigil. Time passed with the passing of stars, the night deepening into an inky pool that reflected the faces of those watching. My thoughts turned inward, weighing the costs and the consequences and the balance that hung like a precipice before us. The stars above had long since dipped into the horizon when I saw her, a figure emerging from the darkness at the city's edge. She moved with a quiet confidence, her steps echoing off the buildings as she approached the alleys where we'd left the woman. My grip on the hilt of my sword tightened, the weight of my oath settling heavier with each passing moment. The hooded figure beside me seemed to sense it too, its eyes narrowing as they watched the newcomer. The woman's face was a map of fine lines and sharp angles, her features etched like those of the city itself weathered by wind and time. Her hair was a rich darkness, pulled back into a tight braid that rested against her neck like a dark serpent. She moved with an air of quiet purpose, her eyes scanning the alleys as if searching for something or someone. As she approached our position, I could see the faint shimmer of metal at her hip, a blade, worn and well used. The hooded figure stepped forward, its features still hidden in shadow, and spoke in a low voice, "You're one of them." The newcomer's gaze snapped to it, and for an instant, their eyes locked in understanding. I recognized the flash of calculation that ran between them. It was the same calculation that drove us all, weighing risks and consequences against the balance. "What do you know?" she asked, her voice low but clear. The hooded figure seemed to consider its response before answering, "We've received disturbances. Whispers of one who walks among us with power not their own." The newcomer's eyes narrowed, her grip on the hilt of her sword tightening. "What kind of disturbances?" I could feel the thread of tension growing between them, a hidden weight that hung in the balance. And then she spoke, her voice barely above a whisper, the sort that make the shadows twist and writhe like living things. As one, we turned towards the Black Rose Tower, its silhouette looming over us like a specter. The woman's eyes seemed to burn with an inner fire as she spoke, "I was sent by House Valen." My grip on my sword hilt tightened, the emblem on my chest seeming to weigh heavier than ever before. Her words dripped with a quiet authority, one that was hard to ignore, but I'd learned to gauge such claims carefully. "House Valen," I repeated, my eyes scanning her face for any sign of deception or hidden motives. The hooded figure beside me seemed just as cautious, its gaze locked on the woman with an intensity that bordered on suspicion. The woman's expression remained steadfast, her eyes flashing with a fierce light that sent a shiver down my spine. I recalled the whispers of House Valen's influence spreading like wildfire through the city, their patronage and power drawing them ever closer to the seat of Mel'Loss draw favor. Theirs was a name not often spoken in hushed tones, but one that commanded respect nonetheless. "I'm Ira Vex," she stated, her voice unwavering as if daring me to challenge her claim. "I've been sent to investigate these disturbances." My gaze fell to the Black Rose emblem on her hip, where a small insignia in the shape of a raven perched upon a rose thorn shone with a faint, almost imperceptible glow. The symbol seemed to hum with an otherworldly energy that I couldn't quite place. The hooded figure shifted, its stance tense, but Ira's gaze never wavered from mine. "I sense you're not like the others," she said, her voice a fraction softer now. "You carry the weight of your oath, and something more." My grip on my sword hilt tightened reflexively as I felt the weight of those words. It was a burden I wore every day, one that bound me to this city and its intricate dance of power. A sudden gust of wind swept through the alleys, extinguishing the candle's flame and casting us into darkness. The watchful eyes, like sentinels, held still as if waiting for permission to move. Ira's eyes narrowed, her hand instinctively drifting to the hilt of her sword. "I think it's time we spoke within." The air was heavy with anticipation as we moved through the alleys, the darkness seeming to cling to us like a damp shroud. Ira walked beside me, her footsteps light on the cobblestones, while the hooded figure trailed behind, its presence felt more than seen. The Black Rose emblem at my chest seemed to hum with an otherworldly energy, drawing my attention back to Ira. Her eyes locked onto mine, and for an instant, I thought I saw a glimmer of something there, recognition, perhaps, or understanding. We reached the entrance to a hidden courtyard, its gate guarded by two watchful eyes who stepped aside as we passed. The air inside was thick with the scent of incense and old stone, and the flickering torches cast eerie shadows on the walls. Ira led me deeper into the courtyard, her movements confident and deliberate, until we reached a small, ornate door. She produced a key from her belt and unlocked it with a soft click, revealing a narrow stairway that descended into darkness. "Follow me," she said, her voice low and urgent, as if she feared being overheard. I hesitated for an instant, my hand on the hilt of my sword still heavy with the weight of my oath. The hooded figure behind me seemed to sense it too, its presence a tangible thing that pressed against my back. Ira's eyes locked onto mine again, and this time, I saw something like apology there, or perhaps it was simply calculation. Whatever the case, she knew that I was bound to follow her, as bound as she was to her own obligations. We descended into the darkness, the air growing thick with the scent of old books and parchment. The stairway ended at a small chamber, its walls lined with shelves that seemed to sag under the weight of ancient tomes. Ira moved to the center of the room, her eyes scanning the space as if searching for something. The hooded figure slipped in behind me, its presence still felt, but no longer a physical pressure on my back. It seems we're alone, she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper. I suppose that's good. Her gaze locked onto mine once more, and I saw the weight of her words that this was just the beginning, and not the end. The air seemed to thicken with tension as she reached out, her hand brushing against mine in a fleeting touch. Tell me, she said, her voice low and urgent, what do you know about these disturbances? I let out a slow breath, feeling the weight of my oath settle heavier on me as I met Ira's gaze. Her hand still lingered near mine, her touch sparking a shiver down my spine despite the chill in the air. The room seemed to hold its breath, waiting for my response, or perhaps it was just the silence that seemed to seep from the ancient tomes that lined the shelves. I took a step back, trying to clear my mind and focus on the task at hand. The disturbances, I began, my voice low and even. They've been quiet for months, but there's always been something off. Whispers of a figure moving unseen, leaving trails of shadows that seem to writhe like living things. Ira's eyes narrowed, her grip on the hilt of her sword tightening, as if drawing strength from my words. She paced away from me, her footsteps echoing off the stone walls, before halting in front of a shelf laden with leather-bound books. And what do you know of this figure? She asked, her back to me as she scanned the spines of the volumes. I hesitated, weighing my words carefully. There was so little I could share, and yet Ira seemed different, somehow, from the others who'd come before her. But that difference only made me more wary. I know it's not a person, I said finally, choosing my words with care. Or at least, not in the way most people mean. It's something else, something that feeds on the darkness and grows stronger when we're weak. Ira's head turned, her eyes glinting in the dim light as she met mine once more. For an instant, I thought I saw a flicker of understanding there, or perhaps it was just a reflection of my own doubts. She moved closer, her movements fluid and deliberate, until we stood mere inches apart. The air seemed to vibrate with tension, the shadows cast by the torches on the walls twisting into grotesque shapes that seemed to writhe like living things. I could feel Ira's breath on my skin, a gentle caress that sent shivers dancing down my spine as she leaned in, her voice barely above a whisper. Tell me more, she said, her words spilling over mine like honey poured from a cracked vessel. The words caught in my throat, refusing to be spoken. I couldn't quite articulate the dread that had taken hold of me, the feeling that whatever was happening, whatever this presence was, it wasn't just a simple matter of darkness feeding on weakness. Ira's eyes seemed to bore into mine, her gaze piercing the defenses I'd built around myself over the years. For an instant, I thought she saw more than I was willing to reveal, but then her expression softened and she nodded as if in understanding. She stepped back, a small movement that made the air feel like it had been sucked from the room. Her eyes darted to the shelves, where the books seemed to loom over us like sentinels. We've been monitoring the aberrations, she said, her voice measured and detached. The signs point to an escalation, something that's been building for weeks. She turned back to me, her gaze searching mine once more. I think you're not just a pawn in this game, Watchman. I think you might be the key. The weight of those words settled heavy on my shoulders, making it hard to breathe. The hooded figure behind me shifted, its presence like a living thing that stirred with every movement I made. I tried to shake off the feeling, but it clung to me like a shadow. Ira's eyes locked onto mine, and for an instant, I thought I saw something there, a glimmer of fear, perhaps, or maybe just a reflection of my own doubts. She reached out, her hand hovering near mine once more before dropping back to her side. Come, she said, her voice firm, but with an undercurrent of desperation. We have much to discuss and little time to waste. The watchful eyes will be watching us, waiting for any sign that we've overstepped our bounds. She turned to the stairway, disappearing into the darkness above before I could respond. The hooded figure followed her, its presence still felt behind me like a cold breeze on a winter's night. I stood there, frozen in indecision, as the silence of the chamber seemed to swallow me whole. The books on the shelves seemed to loom over me, their leather bindings creaking softly in the draft that stirred through the room. I took a step forward, then another, my feet carrying me up the stairway and back into the courtyard beyond. The air outside was cool and damp, filled with the scent of rain and smoke. Ira stood by the gate, her eyes scanning the rooftops as if searching for something or someone. She turned to me, a small smile playing on her lips as she fell into step beside me. "We'll need to move quickly," she said, her voice low and urgent. "The threads are beginning to unravel, and I fear we're running out of time." We walked through the narrow streets of the quarter, our footsteps echoing off the walls as we wove through the crowded market stalls. People dodged past us, their faces a blur of concern and curiosity as they whispered among themselves about the strange occurrences that had been plaguing the city. Ira led me deeper into the heart of the district, where alleys twisted between tall, crumbling buildings like a maze. At last we arrived at a small, unassuming door tucked between two larger structures. The sign above it read Mara's Apothecary in faded letters. Ira produced a small key and unlocked the door, pushing it open to reveal a narrow stairway that plunged into darkness below. She descended first, her movements economical as she navigated the stairs with a familiarity that spoke of many visits. I followed more cautiously, my eyes adjusting slowly to the dim light within. The room below was cramped and cluttered, shelves stacked haphazardly with jars of strange potions and dried herbs. Mara herself sat behind the counter, her face lit by the faint glow of candles. Her eyes flickered up as we entered, and for a moment, I thought I saw a flicker of wariness, but it was quickly replaced by a warm smile as she recognized Ira. "Ah, child," she said, her voice like a gentle breeze on a summer's day. "I've been expecting you." Ira approached the counter, her movements fluid and assured. "Mara, we need your help. The aberrations are escalating. I think they're connected to something deeper." Mara's expression turned serious as she set aside the jars and packages she'd been arranging. She poured two cups of a steaming liquid from a small cauldron on the stove, her hands moving with a quiet efficiency that spoke of long practice. "Ira, child," she said, handing one cup to Ira and gesturing for me to take the other, "I've been tracking those disturbances too. The signs point to something dark and old, power stirring, perhaps, or a door left open too long." Her eyes met mine, her gaze piercing as she continued, "But I think there's more to this than just a simple corruption. You're not just a pawn in this game, watchman, neither are you, Ira." I took a sip of the liquid, feeling its warmth spread through me like a balm on a winter's night. The flavors were bitter and earthy, with hints of sweetness that I couldn't quite place. Mara watched me, her eyes never leaving mine as I swallowed, the taste lingering on my tongue. Ira sat beside me, her cup clutched in both hands as she regarded Mara with an intensity that bordered on desperation. "We need to understand what's happening," she said, her voice low and urgent. "The signs are all over the city," whispers in the wind, flickering shadows on the walls. "I've seen it myself, watchman. It feels alive." She glanced at me, her eyes searching for something, but I shook my head, unable to articulate the sense of dread that had taken hold. Mara's expression turned thoughtful as she leaned against the edge of the counter. "I think we can learn more," she said, her voice measured and detached. "But first, we need to understand the source of these aberrations." "Ira, child, have you spoken with House Valen yet?" Her eyes flicked to me, and I nodded, a sense of unease growing in my chest. Ira's face darkened at the mention of the house name. "Not yet," she said, her voice tight-lipped. "But I plan to speak with the mistress soon. She'll know more than we do, but I fear she may be hesitant." Mara's expression turned knowing, and for a moment, I thought I saw a flicker of something like understanding in her eyes. "Ah," Mara said, her voice softening, "the weight of responsibility can be crushing at times. But it must be faced, Ira. We need the mistress's knowledge if we're to have any hope of stopping this." She turned to me, her gaze piercing as she continued, you'll need to speak with her too, Watchman. Together, you and Ira may be able to uncover the source of these aberrations." Ira's eyes met mine, a flicker of concern dancing there as I nodded, feeling the weight of Mara's words settle heavy on my shoulders. We left the apothecary shortly after, the evening air cool and damp as we navigated the twisting alleys back towards the heart of the quarter. The city seemed to be holding its breath, waiting for something to happen, or perhaps it was just me, anticipating the weight of what lay ahead. As we walked, Ira's hand brushed against mine, a fleeting touch that sent shivers down my spine. I looked at her, my eyes searching for some sign of what lay beneath her reserved demeanor, but her face remained impassive. We said nothing more until we reached the outer walls of House Valen, where the mistress herself stood waiting in the darkness. She was a tall, imposing figure, her features chiseled from the same marble as the statues that lined the city's grand fountains. Her eyes seemed to bore into mine, searching for something hidden within me, but what? I couldn't quite say. "Ah, Watchman," she said, her voice low and measured, "I see you've been conversing with Ira. Tell me, have you come seeking answers?"